Amber, welcome to Research Minute.
Thank you so much. Always lovely to be with the ladies.
It's always a fun week when, you know, the cats are away and the mice play. The mouse is playing. It's been a long week, folks. A long week.
People can't see me, but I'm just shaking my head here.
All right.
She's actually crying in the fetal position under the table. But it's okay. We'll keep going. So, Amber, what have you got for us this week?
This week, we don't talk a lot about, you know, early preschool and little kids. But this week, we had a really neat study. It's out by researchers at NYU. They examined poor children's home learning environments to determine what role that these environments might play in getting them ready for school. So, in other words, we're talking about the school readiness gap as opposed to the achievement gap here, which doesn't get quite as much attention. But obviously, they're both related. Let me cut to the chase. Analysts studied roughly 1,800 children whose families fell below the poverty level and who had participated in an early Head Start evaluation. For each family, they collected data when the child was 1, 2, 3, and 5, just before they started kindergarten. So this is kind of unusual in terms of the longitudinal nature. They included data sources were parent interviews, assessment of the child's language and cognitive abilities, a video of the mother and child at play, and an inventory of the home environment. So things like, you know, are there books available for the kids? Analysts found many differences in terms of the home environments within the sample and divided the kids into 6 groups based on these characteristics. The big finding, roughly 70% of students who had positive home learning environments performed at or above national norms on tests of early school readiness. Kids with poor home environments scored as much as 20 points lower on these tests. More bad news, there was no group of children that started out with a poor home environment then saw those settings improve by the time they entered kindergarten, which could mean that some kids are already at risk of falling behind their similar peers at 15 months old, which is sort of sobering. Last little finding I'll highlight, the timing of the environment mattered in terms of the kids obtaining specific skills. So, for instance, if your kid has a rich home environment at around 1 year old, they could better identify pictures. So they gave them, you know, different skills. So all in all, it just reiterates the importance of early intervention, is what I would say.
Well, I guess my question then would be, did they measure early interventions? I mean, what was the result of adding Head Start into that mix? All of those students you said...
Yeah, so they had, about half of them, so the Head Start evaluation was different, but they'd been randomly assigned to the Head Start. Some received services and some didn't. This wasn't the Head Start evaluation, obviously, they pulled on the same pool of participants there. So, yeah, I mean, I think what was interesting to me is you rarely see this type of study where researchers are literally going into a home and taking inventory of what the home learning environment looks like, videotaping, you know, the parent. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a big danger here that the data could be skewed. I mean, when you ask a mom, do you read your kid? You know, how many moms are going to say no? You know, and I mean, a lot of it, you got some, you know, self-reporting bias, I would imagine, going on in the survey. And, you know, if a parent knows there's a video on, I'm sure they're going to try to play differently with their child.
So my question, did they look at the different interventions and weight the different interventions to see if having books in the home led to more readiness than
it was kind of a weird thing where they say, you know, as you get older, the parent should have more books, which was another kind of weird thing. Like, you know, when you're 1, we want 10 books. When you're 2, we'd like to see 20. I don't know. I have a lot of reservations about the assumptions that went into how they defined the groups. But at the same time, I think, you know, this is kind of a neat study in terms of the data that they did collect. You know, it's probably a methodologist could get in here and blow holes in it. This way and that. But at the same time, I think these are the right indicators. Maybe they aren't measured or quantified in the precise way that everybody would want. But obviously, if you have 15 books and they're all, you know, make, spot, run, and they're in fifth grade, that's not any better than having one book that's To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, that you're trying to get the kid to read, you know, at a young age. So, I mean, the type of books, I mean, that kind of stuff is not what I saw them take into consideration. They just did a gross count of the number of books.
Yeah, I also wonder what the differing effects would be between having, you know, just strictly having books or something like that and kind of parental actions. I mean, if a 1-year-old has books lying around, that's not going to be much help unless a parent actually is, you know, reading to them and is actually trying to do things to really stimulate, you know, their reading ability. So I don't know if there is, would be a way to tease that out or if this report did at all. But it seems to me that that would be a large, you know, component of it. And in trying to, like, intervene in these students' lives to ensure that, you know, all of them can actually perform at these high levels, what actual actions do we need to do?
Yeah, and I think they talked a little bit about how some parents play with their kids much more effectively than others in terms of pushing them, like, here's a dog. What does a dog say? You know, where other parents don't do that sort of follow-up. So they did actually analyze the videos and sort of say, you know what, some parents engage in play with kids much more effectively. And as the kids get older, those parents aren't as savvy about how to engage those kids in play, which makes sense. As your child starts learning, maybe you just don't have, especially if you're poor and you didn't have those types of activities growing up yourself, maybe you don't know how to sort of convey those things and teach those things to your kids. So it was just a neat study in terms of some of those data.
So what is our song that we have this week for these little kids?
So since we're talking about the importance of home and family, we have We Are Family by Sister Sledge.
Well done.